Welcome to the Kazumatsu.org Charlotte Anime Book Club podcast, everyone. I'm your host, Aspiety, and joining me today we have Bizgitter, Link Thinks, and a new dude, RPG Caster.
Hello.
How's it going, new dude?
I am RPG Caster from Melbourne, the same humble city that Aspie comes from. And yeah, my favorite keywork. My favorite keywork is Lil Busters, because Aspie tied me to a chair and forced me to play it.
That's not true.
And my favorite character is Kurugaya from the same work.
Yes!
Yeah. We definitely need more Kurugaya fans in the world.
Good taste.
So this episode has definitely shaken things up a bit. But before we get into discussion analysis, we're going to have Link Thinks take us away for our 30-second recap.
All right. On this episode of Dora the Explorer, Yu steals his heroic resolve to murder Jojiro but gets cock-blocked by Now-Now. The gang gets into the Mystery Machine and heads towards the Monster of the Week. A shocking reveal! Ayumi actually has friends! Maida continues to subtly push the Now-XU ship further by having them talk in sync. We see a new gameplay trailer for Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Lolly. Ayumi is cornered by a plot device and forced to activate her power, sacrificing herself in the process. At long last, the lolly is there. Fuck!
Oh, that was pretty good.
I did it too slow.
That was pretty good.
Oh well, good effort nonetheless. I like the Metal Gear Solid 5
bit. That was pretty good.
The revenge of the pizza saw.
We couldn't even get a 30-second recap. That's how much happened.
There's too much.
Yeah, that's very true. That's very true. Like, this was the episode that Junmai has been hyping up since the very beginning, before the series started, as, you know, stay tuned for this one, because shit's going to go down, basically. And it did. We got,
Went down, all right.
We got quite a heavy shock value from the twist at the end there. We still not 100% sure of the outcome, but it's not looking too, you know, happy. Words are failing me.
Everything will be okay, Aspie, don't worry about it.
Everything will be daijoubu. So, what do you guys think of this episode?
What an episode.
Pretty good. I'd say it's probably, like, maybe a notch down from the previous, like, a notch, just a little bit from the previous in terms of writing.
But
as far as the actual, like, direction and everything that happened in it, and I mean, the writing stuff is stuff that I just kind of nitpicked at anyways. This is good. This is really fucking good.
It had, like, very good cinematic direction.
I've already said that if the series continues to be this good, like, I might actually buy all of the Blu-rays, because these last two episodes have been fucking awesome.
It's already been Ninja Beats for me, so. The internet reaction to this episode has been pretty big. Like, as you would expect, like, for a big shock episode in a key series, it's like, oh my god, how could he do that? You know? Everyone's freaking out. And I'm just like, yeah, I guess we're expecting this. Not that I didn't appreciate it. Like, it definitely had big shock value. But that doesn't mean it's the best episode we've seen so far, does it?
Not necessarily.
Like, as you were saying, in terms of writing, some areas of this episode felt a little bit flat for me.
There's some weak points.
Like, definitely the sudden drama with... We keep calling her Yandere-chan.
Where's the daddy, though?
Konishi.
It's another person. It's not really... Anyways. Well, I'm nitpicking. Sorry.
I guess we haven't seen her Dera side, but, you know, she's obviously head over heels for Oikawa, as it would seem. Yeah, so the drama felt a little bit flat there. Like, it was kind of a convenient plot device, I should say, to make Ayumi's powers activate. And yes, that was one of my predictions earlier, so I'm glad that came true. But a lot of people feel like it could have been a much better build-up to this. Like, instead of it evolving from the events that have happened previously and being a natural progression, it's kind of just like, oh, Ayumi's dead or injured now, like, just for no reason. It was all just a big coincidence of fate, you know? It doesn't feel like there's much anything just to it. It's just, eh, let's just kill her off, you know? What do you guys think about it?
For me...
Well...
Oh, we all want to talk. We see, all want to talk. We're all excited. RPG, Link. You go first. You're the new kid on the block.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I thought that the episode was pretty good. I do agree with, like, the fact that I felt the drama was kind of out of nowhere, but I feel like that's because they haven't really done anything with Ayumi. Like, her presence in the show has been, for a lot of it, pizza sauce
and
nothing else. And, like, the structure up until now has been the episode either starts or ends with pizza sauce shenanigans, and then they go off and do their thing. So I don't feel like, at least the way the story was written up until this point, that there was anything that could have been built on to force Ayumi to kind of reveal her power or anything like that.
That's definitely true.
That being said, I still don't like how it did play out that much. I think I'm actually more bothered by the fact, like, this really bothers me when I see stupid things happen in fiction. Why did she run upstairs when she was running away from someone?
A lot of people commented on that in the forum.
That did drive me crazy. I was like, okay, why the fuck would anyone... Why does anyone do... This is such a horror trope. Don't run up fucking stairs when you're trying to get away from something. Because guess what? The only way you're going to get back down is fucking down! Like, what are you doing? Anyways, yeah, that bothered me. But again, at the same time, like, Ayumi is kind of hit or miss on how bright she is. Because we all saw her little use of television thing, which is, I guess, a pretty fair foreshadowing. She's not that bright, so...
Yeah, that's
she's
true,
a little
I
kid.
Guess.
She's a little kid. She just wanted to get away.
It's been adequately foreshadowed that she's going to fuck up at a crucial point.
she's also, like... She's, you know, like you said, she's a little kid. She's innocent, so she's like, she wouldn't really think anything horribly bad would happen, so she wouldn't really know how to react in that kind of situation. I don't think most children would know how to react or, like, have actual survival instincts in a situation like that. All they're going to do is yell for someone to help them, which is what happened.
Do you think
it's true.
Do you think this incident is, like, realistic? Like, a lot of people are like, wait, why is this kid pulling a knife out? Is this really okay?
Yes!
No.
Yeah. Debate! Let's discuss. Link, what do you think?
I think it's too heavy-handed. Like, don't get me wrong, I can understand that there are genuinely people who get these kind of, you know, yandere emotions where they're driven to the point where it's like, yeah, I'm gonna chop you up with the box cutter. No problem. But it feels really, like, super forced and super obligatory. Especially for this girl who, you know, she just kind of shows up this episode, says approximately nothing.
Okay.
And then taking our box cutter.
Let me go ahead and refer you to some real world news where just recently two children were tried as adults for stabbing someone like fucking 30 something times. They didn't kill them, thank God.
No, I get that. I agree with you. I understand that it happens.
I feel like, okay, so that's based off of something that was based in fiction, but we're talking about an actually more realistic scenario where we're talking about human relationships are involved here. So I feel like that's actually even more plausible than what happened in reality. So I think the actual situation itself is fair enough.
JDA on the forum, JDA95, references the Sasebo slashing in, I think it was like 2001 or something? 2002? Where like an 11-year-old girl, I think it was, slashed and killed her 12-year-old classmate. So it's there's precedent for this kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. So I think in like grounded in reality, I think the situation is fair, with the exception of, you know, superpowers and shit. I think that the situation can definitely be a thing. Going back to whether or not I feel like this was too forced or not. As far as the actual, how it plays out in the scenario and, like, the reality that in a better situation it could be written well, then yeah, sure, I think it's actually fine, but obviously it couldn't be presented as such because we have time constraints.
Mm. Yes.
But despite the fact that we didn't actually see any of these characters' relationships or really anything at all about this until just now for, like, this, what, 10, 15 minutes even?
Yeah.
Like... While I was watching it, I didn't feel at any point that the actual situation couldn't have came to, like, to be in writing. Like, I felt like it was actually, like, if you just think about it, everything felt real to me. Like, when I was watching it, I was like, okay, yeah, this is a little cliche, but it's cliche because I've seen this in a story before, you know? Like, yeah. This kind of idea can happen, and it can be written into work. So I fully support the scene in that regard.
I guess, like,
I have a lot of defense for this.
It does feel rushed because this is the first time we've seen any of these characters. The events were referenced last episode, which is the earliest we had, like, any mention of it. And it's also the first time Ayumi had any sort of development as a character, too, so it kind of ties together. The question is, like, was this really possible to foreshadow before, now, if Ayumi's not the focus of the story? Because the focus of the story, up until this point, has been definitely on the student council, and Ayumi's just there in the background.
In a massive anime or a literary work, sure. In this, I don't think that there would have been time, and I think that they hinted at enough things to make it feel real. Like, they call her, like, Ayuchi or something. She's got a nickname. There's obviously a connection between them all. Yandere-chan talks to Ayumi about how her and Oikawa were a thing before she showed up. I think that's a realistic thing. And then you had the super ginky cool girl who was like the wing girl, right?
Nomura.
Who felt real. Like, that was a good character.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it all felt good to me.
Takafumi reckons, he like has concerns that they could have fitted in, but he reckons it's probably nitpicking because they probably wouldn't have had time to address all of that in the episodes before. How did people feel about the ending of the episode? Yarin on the forum comments that he reckons, like, he would have rather they ended on, like, you screaming out Ayumi's name and not the the rubble, like, seemingly falling on him. Valid, I think.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that.
I also disagree.
I think it's fine as a cliffhanger. I don't know.
I liked it as a
better than a lot of the other endings they've had.
Dude, you know, it actually makes you want to watch. If that episode ended with him just screaming and then it ended, I would have felt really cheated, because you gained a little something from the end of this episode, too, because what happens is he does run out, and then you don't actually see any collapsing happening on top of him. And then you go straight to credits, which is a great sequence. I really enjoyed it. Great soundtrack. Good piece.
Oh, yeah.
It's very similar to another story, but at any rate, you also get a post-credit scene with the blood on the concrete and stuff, and Kumagami, right?
Kumagami, yeah.
Chilling there. So, like, that added so many questions in my head. I was like, holy shit, whose blood is it? Why is that guy there? Added a whole lot more. Sure. So if they just ended with a scream, I'd just been like, well, I wonder what happened to Ayumi, and that would have been it.
Yeah, like, I feel like my whole impression of this scene, this episode, and maybe the whole series up to this point, is going to depend on what happens next. Because, like, we've been talking about how maybe the drama in this episode wasn't the best, and, like, the whole event could have been done better. But I think the focus is less on Ayumi, you know, we don't know if she's dead yet, but less on this incident happening to Ayumi, and more on what happens next. That's what I really want to see. Like, it could be anything. But, you know, I'm really hoping for some interesting development with Yu's character, if he turns out of this okay. There's lots of ways they could go about it, but depending on what they do from here is going to determine how I feel about this episode and the series as a whole. So I'm still, like, kind of pending on a lot of my opinions.
That's how I've felt with almost every episode so far, you know? It's like, everything just keeps riding me, like, I just keep riding along, like, and that's, I'm fine with that, that's good, because that means I'm excited to see where our conclusion's going. Like, there's a never-ending volley of questions and answers that are just kind of, there's, like, there's lots of intertwined things and just stuff going on where I'm just, like, super invested, and I really like it.
I'd like to, bring us on a little sidetrack. Let's talk about power theories a bit. Because there's a lot of interesting discussions turned up on the forum, on the community at large, and just between us chatting here about different power theories, like on how people develop their powers and what kind of powers people have. There's a vocal minority on the forum that is claiming that Yu's power isn't as it seems, and the main evidence they have for that is the scene where Yu is about to appropriate Jojo's body and now intervenes and kicks him out the window, which was a fucking amazing scene.
Well, there's also the
Baseball dude scene. Thing.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Objection. Yes, Biz.
Well, you already know how I feel about the baseball scene, right?
She wasn't hugging him. She had her arms like her hands were at his sides. That's not a hug.
You already know how I feel about that scene. I stand by that.
Not a fucking hug.
Also, there's totally under hugs. You're fucking crazy.
That's the most awkward hug I've ever seen.
It's true. It doesn't look like a hug.
Anyways, you already know how I feel about that. In this situation, obviously, yeah, they stopped him, but it's now who stops him again. But she ends up doing exactly what he was going to do, which is throw his ass out the window, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He interprets it, too.
Yeah, and the way I took this is, Yu was like, fuck, this guy's annoying, I want to get rid of him. Which, to Jojiro, who doesn't really know Yu, would probably be pretty upset about that. Be like, oh man, what a fucking asshole. But, however, he says later, you know, Nao does that shit to me all the time, so it's no big deal.
I feel like
Nao was actually trying to defend the camaraderie within the group, because there probably would have been some turmoil if he would have just used his power blatantly like that. I think that would have been pretty unfair. Whereas I kind of like the way she handled it, because she accomplished the same goal and nobody got upset about it.
Valid. Do we know whether he can use his powers in other people's bodies? I'm not recalling a situation where that happened. Oh yeah, the flying thing, right?
Sky High.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so I've already confirmed that. But I don't know, like, a lot of people are saying, okay, like, taking what Biz said, yes, that's a possibility, but I still think it's a significant possibility that these people are onto something, and that Yu's power is something more than we know. As for what it is, I have no idea. Like, maybe it's not so much his power, but there's something about him we don't know yet, that we think that a lot of people are speculating that Nao does happen to know about.
And there's also the other thing about how, like, just like in the baseball episode, Nao kind of wants him to do things without using his power.
That was my initial impression of that scene, but you're also kind of forgetting the really big point where, like, Kunigami obviously found him using his power. We don't know what his, like, word-for-word power is, right?
That's probably the biggest
piece of evidence towards that him having good. Something else.
I'm not against it, I'm just saying that I wouldn't really drive too hard.
Okay. Well, I guess we've said what we need to about that. The other thing is Ayumi's power. A lot of people were really confused that she had a power called Collapse, which seems to destroy buildings or like
even
something
you,
like that.
He was like, why didn't they just call it Destruction or something? Why is it Collapse? That's unsettling.
Yeah, they actually pointed it out.
I thought Hawkeye meant Destruction, so I got a bit confused there. But, yeah. Do you guys have anything to say about this?
I can throw out my pet theory that I came up with, like, right away, but I'm gonna preface it with, like, it's super wrong. I knew it was wrong when I came up with it. But basically, the only thing that I could think of off the bat was that, and this clashes with her personality, is that basically, she moved to a new school, she's missing her mom, who knows what's up with her dad, Yu's always freaking late, just, like, a bunch of weird factors being thrown together and really messing up, like, a kid's life. Like, that can be stressful, right? That can be really stressful, especially if you're young. And so I could see that causing her to, like, oh, well, I wish everything would just, like, stop or whatever. But at the same time, that goes completely against her personality. It's totally wrong. I know it's wrong, but that was my pet theory that I came up with. I really like the theory that Kaze was the one who first mentioned,
yes,
I believe,
yes,
with the star collapse. I would have never figured that
out. It also
out.
Fits really well with how
could
she
elaborate,
like, glows
that?
Bright white whenever.
Yeah, that's true.
Could you elaborate on that for people who haven't read it?
Yeah, so basically, obviously Ayumi loves the stars and stuff, and the way comets form are... should I just read off the little clip? Comets are some of the material left over from the formation of planets. Our entire solar system, including comets, was created by the collapse of a giant diffuse cloud of gas. yeah, basically mm-hmm. is created by collapsing.
Yeah. It's definitely a very interesting theory. It ties in thematically to her obsession with stars. And, who was it? Was it Kaze? Someone on the forum brought up the idea that, you know, in the opening, there's a scene where all the character portraits, this...
Helios Alpha.
Yeah, it was Helios Alpha. You're right. Brought up the theory. The silhouettes, like, turn into, like, stars, but Ayumi and you have galaxies inside them and no one else does. And he thought that maybe that was, like, some symbol of their power, and maybe they both have, like, tremendous power compared to everyone else. Which is an interesting theory.
They're also the same, like, color. The galaxies are the same color as their powers.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, that's neat! Oh, I didn't notice that. That supports it even more. But yeah. There's a lot of things in the opening which are, like, suggesting it things to come, and some of them are probably spoilers, so I won't bring them up here. But if you look deep enough, there's lots of foreshadowing in the opening. Holy shit. But yeah, so that's a theory. RPG, you had a little theory you wanted to talk about, didn't you?
Yeah, because, like, I'm a big fan of Madoka Box, one of my favorite mangas, and ever since I've watched that, my view on superpowers in anime has been kind of changed a little bit. So when they said collapse, and especially when they highlighted the fact that it was worded differently, my mind immediately thought that collapse was going to be a conceptual ability, so not necessarily something that, like, collapses things physically, but maybe also in other ways, which is why initially I thought that Yandere-chan was going to be the one that had the power, and she was using her ability to kind of affect Ayumi and make her sick and stuff. Mm-hmm. But then I thought about it more, and kind of while we did see Ayumi collapse everything around her, as well as that all the kind of relationships around her and stuff was kind of going down as well. So I thought maybe her power was affecting that as well, because like that was my one other way of kind of explaining why that girl had such a severe reaction. And I kind of felt like her other friends were acting a bit suspicious as well, or like not normal. So I thought that might have been like her ability. Yeah.
Oh, we can talk about that when we get to the Brotherhood.
Yeah. But I always found it really weird. Like, I know I'm looking into it too much, but why do powers have defined names? Like, that's such a weird thing.
Yeah, that's true.
That's very true.
And it makes sense if like they were like genetically like modified and like someone made the powers. Like, okay, this one's called, you know, collapse, this one's called breakneck speed or whatever. But yeah, it's so weird that they have like names and they can just look at Kumagami's like, yeah, this one's called this power. It's weird.
Or maybe Kumagami knows more than he's letting on if he knows the names of everyone's power.
Into the fact that he was there in that little post credit scene.
Hold on. I still have one more theory I wanted to add to all the Ayumi theories.
I had one too.
Okay, but I like my one. Mine's so, I don't have a lot of evidence for it yet, but we need to consider the fact that it's heavily implied that the Otosaka siblings have an older sibling that we haven't seen yet, and they forgot about him for some reason, and he only appears in their dreams. As a psychology student, my first impression here is that there's some sort of trauma that happened which caused them to repress all memories of their sibling. Maybe something terrible happened, and that's the reason why they can't remember. But that would also explain why Ayumi has such a devastating power, because it's kind of like the repressed trauma surfacing up in her again. Again, like, it's a little bit baseless, because I don't know what happened. But I feel like if something did happen to cause her power, it would have to be related to what happened to their sibling, or what happened with their sibling. Okay. And that's my theory.
I want to talk more again about Yusa and Misa. We didn't see any Misa this episode, so whatever. Aww. Except for that one person who says that that girl is apparently Misa. I thought that was kind of funny. She has orange eyes, okay? They're not red.
yeah, that was weird.
But anyway. Anyways, so let's just say hypothetically that Yusa's power is actually the pyromancy, And Misa's power is the ability to kind of channel the dead or something related to that. Anyways, here's where it gets kind of stupid. that person's the thing about that girl being Misa, and I was like, well, wouldn't that be kind of fucking silly as hell if Misa was still alive? Which I highly doubt is the case. Highly, 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 highly doubt is the case. But let's just say it is. Let's say Yusa's not a medium and just has the firepower, right? Because Yusa doesn't actually, like, physically channel anyone, right? Like, she doesn't really know of the power. It just kind of happens. Like, she gets taken over, right? Which is exactly how it's described. And if we're talking about you and things where we don't really necessarily know what their power may be, even though it was explained to us, but could be wrong, they could be lying to us, because, ooh, tricky Maida. Yeah. Let's say she's not a medium, and she does have the firepower, and there's someone else who actually takes control of her.
Right? Like possession, yeah.
Like possession, exactly.
So, like,
and this person can be anywhere, whatever, and they're taking possession of her to spy on things.
What are you saying? Misa's a spy?
Sure.
Ooh.
Like maybe Misa is alive and she's just checking up, you know, checking up on the crew.
No. I don't want Misa to be a bad guy.
I just thought it was, they don't necessarily have to be bad. They're just kind of different. They're just wearing different suits, you know.
I guess so.
Like,
but
the Brotherhood doesn't necessarily have to be bad, but they're just kind of different.
That's true. I also have one other little thing I want to bring up before we get into our speculation block. Everyone is trying to ship you and Now. Like, it's been happening for quite a while now. And they kind of reached a head in this episode where it's like their sentences are synced up and, like, Amy's like, wow, you two are totally dating. There's like,
I view them as siblings in that.
But yeah, like, this is an interesting scene to me, because it could go one of two ways. Either they're playing it straight, and yes, there is romance between the two, or it could be more of a meta sort of thing, where Ayumi's representing the shippers in this case, like, oh, you two are totally perfect for each other.
Absolutely. I feel like that was totally a joke.
No, we're not. And what we're going to get instead is not a romantic ending, but more of a bro ending. It's kind of like Yuri and Hinata in Heaven's Door.
Yeah.
That's, you know, what I'm feeling.
As a random aside, I really loved how whenever Yu was talking to Jojiro about getting kicked out the window, the first time I met her, straight to the hospital. But I got used to it after a while. That's a nice little reference for you.
Yeah, that's quite a reference.
My angel beats.
Anyway, so I guess we're going to move on to the main part of the podcast. Yes, the main part. I should mention this is usually the time where we wrap up the episode, but there is so much to talk about right now that we can't just contain it in 30 minutes. So we're going to go a little bit over time for this one. Let's get into Speculation Block DX.
Da-da-da.
And so we've got a lot to talk about here. Because, as we said, the series could go literally anywhere. Let's start us off. Link, you want to give us some speculations?
Yeah, sure. I can throw some stuff out. So, I mean, the obvious thing is that there's another group entering the picture, right? That no matter which way you cut it, that's something that's happening. I think Biz probably, I'm going to hazard a guess that he has the most to say about this. He just seems like that guy. But my guess is that, yeah, it's pretty apparent that blue haired guy with the car, Oikawa, the stupid pretty boy guy, and orange hair are in league in some way, shape, or form, right? I think we can all agree on that. Probably.
Why Oikawa? Why is Oikawa part of the thing?
Why? Yeah, because his like behavior was more than. Just like
I just thought he was a little shithead.
It was way too. It was way shady. Yeah, it was way too sketchy. It was way too desperate to get her to stop.
Get her to stop what?
That is a great question, isn't it? Presumably, they wanted to take her in or something at that point.
Yeah.
I've been looking at this scene like 10 times because there is a lot of interesting things going on. Okay. Let's rewind a second. We have Ayumi's just leaving her class, and Oikawa's waiting out, being all serious, like, "Hey, come with me. I'm going to take you on a date to celebrate your recovery." And she's like, "No, no, I'm good." And then he freaks out and goes, "Wait!" and grabs her collar, and is like desperately trying to stop her and get her to come with him. Isn't it strange that he'd be going to take her on a date in the town when there's somebody in his group that's already coming to stop her?
That's why I think that the chick is the freaking person that was coming to get her was quote unquote good, whereas I felt like he was like a spy for the scientists and was trying to kidnap her
or something.
That's also interesting.
You want to hear my theory?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think everyone is focusing on Oikawa like he is the bad guy. Either he's a pervert or he's working with the Brotherhood, as we've taken to calling them. I think he's a good guy.
Thanks, man.
I think he is trying to save Ayumi from perhaps the group. Perhaps he knew about the Yandere-chan. One of those, he's trying to stop her because he knows she's going to run into something bad. And guess what? As soon as he tries to stop her, Nomura comes in and slams her arm down. It's like, "Stop this.
She goes, interfering.
I think Nomura is the bad guy in this case. And she, it's because, like, no one has thought about her. Like, she's so innocent. Like, she's just Ayumi's friend. But then I look at her character design and how they focus on her so much in, like, the PV, and, like, she's got that little hair clip and stuff. It's a very distinct character design. I think she's going to come back. I don't think she's a one-episode character. I reckon she is the one that's, like, knows what's really going on and is, like, manipulating Ayumi to whatever end. That's my theory.
Interesting. I would say, like... the Oikawa thing, okay, that's interesting. I can agree with that. I think that's pretty good. Her, not so sure. And I would have to have a complaint about Oikawa is if Yandere-chan is, like, talking about him, is she just fucking crazy? Or was he actually just... Because, like, I could totally just picture him being a shithead, like a dumb little kid, and just kind of, you know, ruining this girl's life and then moving on to the next, because he's a dumb little kid. So, like, I don't know, I could kind of picture that.
I still think he was acting he was very shocked. Like, he really wanted to stop Ayumi from going wherever she was going.
Something's up with him.
I think he's definitely suspicious, but I personally think that Nomura is more suspicious.
Clearly that's the Brotherhood-chan's little brother.
I think that Aspie's theory is actually probably pretty plausible, though. That does seem like some... a good twist.
Doesn't it?
Most people, I mean, like you said, most people would overlook that. So, you shifted
it's
my view.
It's just crazy enough
I can
to
agree
be
with that.
I definitely feel like she was the focus when, like, we met the three characters. It's like, "Hi, I'm a Yumichi's friend." Or what's it?
She also doesn't necessarily have a place either, so that does kind of give her some room to kind of be, other than just kind of being the bro. Like, there is room for her to get a little something more, so I guess that's fair.
I think Konishi is just, she was just a plot device, personally.
Yeah, no, I doubt she's gonna be anything more than that.
But I also would back up that all of the other side characters so far have seemed legitimate enough, so. could just be rampant speculation, you never know.
Could be. But I'm very happy with that theory, so we'll see what happens. Maybe I'm right, maybe I'm wrong. Your prediction that someone would come and take Ayumi turned up false. That's a little bit sad.
yeah, that didn't happen. But whatever. I mean, I was kind of like losing it, but yeah, that didn't happen. But bad things did happen, as Mido. I mean, we knew something bad was going to happen, so I guess that's fair enough.
Yeah.
But I guess in speculation, we can talk a little bit about what we think about the possibilities of what the Brotherhood's going to be, maybe.
Yeah. Let's focus on the Brotherhood.
I could talk about that, definitely.
All right.
Okay. First impression here is, while I do call them the Brotherhood, I don't necessarily think that they're bad. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it would have been really cool to have kind of like a contrasting team that were kind of more malicious. But I don't necessarily feel like these people are bad just yet. the obvious thing that came to me was, okay, whenever she runs into the school, she flashes a badge.
Yes.
To
yes.
the security mm-hmm. guard. Mm-hmm. So it becomes very apparent to me that I think that they are the school's primary security force. That's what I think. So yeah, I at first glance, I wouldn't say they definitely don't seem bad to me. The dude who was in the car kind of had a look of concern where he was like, shit, go get him, you know? And she was trying to obviously stop something from happening, probably because they had a Yumi on watch. Why they had a Yumi on watch, I don't necessarily know. Maybe Nao is in talks with them. Alexis, someone had the theory that Kumagami is a part of this group yep. from the OP.
That was my personal theory, yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
I agree with that one.
So
he does look like the guy in the OP, so...
Yeah. So, yeah, that would be kind of... I don't think they're bad.
Yeah, I don't think they're bad at all. My impression was that they were a similar entity to Nao Nao's group.
And I also think that they're kind of like something that Nao Nao is kind of keeping as a secret as well. Like, yeah. I feel like she's in contact with them more regularly than the rest
you
of
reckon?
Their little group.
I got the impression that I got the impression that she didn't know about them, but it is possible. Like, I am almost certain that they are working under Nao's benefactor.
Mm.
Like, oh, yeah. I definitely feel like they're in the same group.
Yeah.
Sure. Whether they're associated with the scientists or not depends if you subscribe to Biz's crazy conspiracy theory or not.
What is that?
Oh, the school's evil.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's a prison.
Which, again, like I always say, like I'm fair to say whether or not something contradicts my theories, which this does contradict it quite a lot. If they are a security force and they're trying to keep Ayumi safe... because I guess they're worried about her or whatever, then I think that kind of contradicts it, because the security is trying to keep things safe. But the thing is why? They kept her locked down whenever she tried to go out the previous day, and that was before she was sick or showing any signs of anything. And now, while she was known by Nao Nao and the crew that she was supposed to be staying in her home... or in the dorm room,
mm-hmm.
then if they pick her up on cameras, they're all freaking out. Like, there's clearly something much bigger keeping an eye on Ayumi.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but, like, you know, even if they are, like, manipulating her for a more malicious intent, then it'd make sense that they want to keep her alive.
Yeah, know? Of course.
So if they thought that she was going to go down, of course they'd intervene. I still don't know which way it's going to go. It really could go anyway, but,
I do have a big problem, going more into predictions, is that if this team becomes very prominent, which they probably will,
mm-hmm.
I have a big problem that, okay, we're talking about five more characters, and someone else mentioned something about having, like, it would be so cool if the show just completely switched focus and was all about this new team. That would be kind of cool as shit. But anyways, I have kind of a big problem with this team coming into play, because that's a lot more characters, yeah. and we're already halfway through, which, if the show keeps at this good writing level and keeps at this nice pace, then maybe it'll turn out okay, and I'm just nitpicking, but I do have a big, there's a big worry within me that these characters might end up being really cool as shit, you know? They might be awesome, and we're not going to get enough of them, because then we won't get enough of our main cast.
Yeah.
And the big problems or whatever is coming for them next. So I feel like this whole other cast might fall really flat, and that's troublesome to me.
It's a valid concern, yeah, I'll give you that.
It's a very valid concern, I kind of have that bit as well.
You just doubled your interest in the show, but then
they might end up being the new monster of the week.
Yeah,
like, I don't know. It could go anywhere.
The monsters of the week so far, they hit me kind of bitter at first, and then they started getting better. The last two were really good.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
But this group, I don't know. I'm worried.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm just gonna go back to the point that you made about their unmentioned as of yet much brother that they've forgotten about, apparently.
Yeah.
And
yeah, sure.
I like that whole, like, trauma thing, but I was just thinking about it super simply and thought that maybe the scientists had someone with a power to manipulate memory.
Yeah, that's another possibility.
I think some other people mentioned that on the forums as well, too.
Yeah, it's not the first time it's been mentioned, too, yeah. either. I couldn't tell you who, but there's definitely been talk of it.
I've seen that.
I know people have speculated his brother is the one who could do it.
That's true.
I mentioned in that other episode about there not being a father in Nao's family, and there's never any talk about it. He just doesn't exist, apparently.
I can't wait for the twist where they're like step siblings or cousins or something.
That's what I was saying earlier when you were talking about the U Nao ship. Dude, they're like siblings, man. That's all I could think of.
Yeah, they're actually siblings, so they can't ship them.
You think that'll stop people? That'll stop people?
It won't stop people. It won't.
That's very true. So we've already talked about Kumagami to an extent. Like, we don't know anything. But
can we talk about people? I remember, I think it was Mary posted it on Twitter. One of our users posts posted, "Why him?" And a lot of other people were asking, like, "Why the fuck's that guy there?" about Kumagami at the end of the episode. And somebody else picked up on it. It said it's raining. And finally, for some reason, this never came to my mind about, we kept asking questions of, how the hell does this dude find out that he has this power if he has to be all wet? Well, maybe he got caught in the rain. He was able to see everything. Holy shit, it just came to me, you know?
It all makes sense now.
So, a few things come to mind. If he's there in the rain, maybe, what if Ayumi's, like, buried under the rubble and he wants to save her? Maybe that's a development that can happen. Another thing is, obviously, now we know how he's aware of his power, and I guess, I don't know if he sees them, like, is he just, I called him Cerebro Saito, and that was kind of a joke, but, I mean, that's really kind of where we're going here, because what if it is overwhelming to him? Like, that's kind of a drama point, is whenever you're seeing all of these people at the same time, just like how Cerebro has you hearing all these thoughts and stuff, how it kind of drives Professor X crazy, it's the same thing here. So I think that's pretty interesting. So why him? I would say that's why, because now you kind of have an interesting kind of development with his character, and he becomes more important than he was before.
Definitely.
Never thought of it like that.
He detected someone in the rubble, maybe. That's what a lot of people are saying. And a lot of people reckon it's like maybe someone we haven't seen yet. I don't know. But that does lead into the next question. Whose pizza sauce is that? Blood.
Translation. Whose blood is that? Oh, that's pizza sauce, guys. Revenge of the pizza sauce.
Who do you think died? Or got mortally wounded? Yeah.
Personally, I think that Ayumi dying this early on would kind of lack a lot of... her death itself wouldn't have that much punch. It would mostly just serve, obviously, to fuel a conflict and move the story forward, rather than the death itself being the highlight. I think that would be a bit weird, but I think it would be very plausible. I think that on the off chance that you died, it could be a lot cooler and more interesting, but obviously, if the story's not written that way, it's just not going to happen. So, I don't know. We'll have to see.
I think it was Pepe saying that he reckons it's Jojo's blood, and that
I disagree with him when he said I was with him when he watched the episode. I disagree. Jojo dies getting kicked out of a freaking building. He's not gonna let a little brick, tiny brick,
lands on his head.
No, he'd catch it. Nah. Or he breaks through it. Yeah, he would do something.
As
he
well as die that, to that,
he's too good for that.
I don't think he's like. Has he ever, if that was the case, would he not be leaving trails of blood as he dashes past everything? Like, if that is his blood?
Yeah, good point. That blood is definitely kind of a driplet and it's a smush. That's a smushy blood. Yeah. That's not a spray.
Big turning point for the series at the moment. What were you going to say, RPG?
I was just going to say, I think it's you. I don't think it's dead. I just think it's used blood. And you know it's because I said that. I know it might not be the case, but I just thought since Ayumi was in the middle of the rubble and the blood was at the top of the rubble, I don't know.
That's
probably used.
Yeah.
I'm still curious why Kumagami actually has, like, his power. Like, why would you... What would make you get a power that lets you divinate? for other power users. But at the same time, I don't feel like we know enough to reasonably snowball around that yet, you know?
Yeah, it's... I don't know if we can know yet, but it's a very interesting question. Like, if their personalities and stuff are relevant, then why would he have a power like that?
Yeah.
It seems very instrumental to helping other power users.
I remember.
Okay. Biz, what do you want to talk about?
You mentioned that a Yumi's, if it was a Yumi that dies, then it's not that much of an impact, so it's kind of a waste.
Yeah.
I don't think it's meant to form much of an impact on, like, a serious viewer. First of all, it definitely did show an impact, because a lot of people are like, what the fuck?
it had its intended impact. It
definitely, everyone is kind of shocked at what is happening and really wants to know what happens next. There's a lot of people who are like, man, I sure hope this next episode lightens things up, and it's not gonna fucking happen, it's just gonna get worse. which is good. Which is why I say I don't feel like this is much of an impactful piece, because we're only halfway through. Why the hell would Maida's grand finale impact crazy thing happen in the middle of the series? It's still coming. We're not there yet.
This is the good route.
We're just getting started. This is a setup.
I totally agree with you. That was what I was saying.
Something more along the lines of an actual punch would be, say, maybe Yusa can channel, you know, Yumi later, and then maybe Yusa's gonna lose her power, and Yumi is gone forever.
Oh, Wouldn't that fucking suck? Can I throw my bet on that? Because when I read that on the forum, it kind of bugged me, I guess. Because the way I saw it is, this is totally baseless, because we don't know, right? But I would assume that she would only be able to channel Misa, because, like, that's who she has a connection with? And that's, like, why she developed her power in the first place.
But it would be fucking cool if they
would. It would be cool for Yusa's power to actually be, like, useful. Like, that sets up for some cool shit, okay?
That is really cool. I like that.
Surely they wouldn't, like, miss that opportunity, right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think they will. I personally couldn't see that, like, ever happening, but, you know, Maida's proved me wrong before.
Everyone knows I'm the best writer.
That's true.
Well, time will tell. Anything else anyone wants to bring up?
All right. Well, one thing that I wanted to say is, obviously, while the whole, like, final part of the episode is really cliche, or maybe just didn't fit at all to some people, the tone shift in this episode was fucking brilliant. The direction in this episode was super good. You could say, oh my god, that was breakneck speed, what just happened, I don't know anything about this, but it was shocking. It was to me. I was like, oh man, this is like, even if it was kind of a gross feeling, it was like, what is happening? And that whole scene was animated pretty damn well. I really enjoyed that. It looked like a good kind of horror anime. I like that.
Yeah,
I do agree with that.
They obviously set it to where it was all rainy and stuff, so the color palette became this really dark, kind of soft color. Mm-hmm. And then the music also changed this episode. Like,
I was about to say,
there's
the music
really
so
awesome pieces in this episode. So this whole episode was just brilliantly directed, extremely good.
Nod to the official Charlotte website for changing their background to the collapsed rubble, which I totally didn't steal for Gossamassery.
Oh, I thought that was a Harmonia background.
It was cool though. There's definitely a nice tone shift here. It was really good. I really like it, and it's totally setting up for where the rest of the series is going to be going, which has me very excited. Another thing I want to talk about, as far as writing is concerned, yeah, there's weak points in the writing in this episode. I think nobody's really in disagreement there. But there's still a lot of really nice connections and thing that I really liked. One of the things is whenever they're going to bring food to Yumi, which was just cool, like, they care, like, oh, let's bring her some food, read to this really nice little, like, natural conversation segue over to Yusa. Yusa is just the master of natural conversation, apparently, where she's like, oh, well, I don't live with my parents, right, so I'm always eating alone, right, so I thought that was good, that fit in really well, and then it switches over to you having kind of a monologue, which it felt awkward. Like, you could say, okay, this feels like forced writing. I don't really like this very much. Why is he having a monologue in the middle of this? But I feel like it really fits the format, right? Because everyone knows in KeyVN's the freaking protag's monologue for, like, hours at a time. And you're like, dude, you're just kind of standing in front of someone thinking to yourself indefinitely. So I feel like this actually fit really well, and I liked it. It's better than it kind of coming up in conversation in a weird way. But that said, he's like, oh man, I'm so lucky to have a little sister, which is like, oh, foreshadowing, she's gonna get wrecked. But it then shifts back to super awesome writing, because he's like, shit, yeah, let's go have food together, guys. And he's like really cheerful, because whenever he thinks about that, he thinks about Nao and her not having a brother. So he's like, I have this family, we have this partnership, I'm gonna look on the bright side of all of us being kind of lonely, like Yusuke said she was, Nao is. And he's like, yeah, let's all go hang out with Miyamoto and we're gonna have some food. And I thought that was really good.
Mm-hmm.
That was nice.
Yeah, it was a nice twit, nice little development before, you know, shit goes down, obviously. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I felt that fit in really well.
I could feel it, yeah.
Yeah.
I need to point out, I didn't even mention, the episode title, Happy You Did Not Notice, according to Crunchyroll, is wrong!
Yeah, that translation sucks!
It's so English!
It's literally, like, we checked it up, it's the Google Translate version. a better title you might like is Overlooked Happiness or Unnoticed Happiness. Kind of makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, see, that makes more sense.
Yeah. Well, I was almost going to boycott all the titles up to this point, but I followed the official format until now, so I should probably stick with it. But yeah.
That's a nice little jab at people like Mu who are like, man, everything fucking sucks up until this point. I don't like Ayumi. She's annoying. Blah, blah, blah. Because like I said previously about those episodes where I was just kind of like, you know, this could be something good that you can look back on and be like, man, I'm going to miss those happy times. Nailed it.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, you were right. You were right. Yeah, but it all depends what happens from here, you know? Like,
oh, yeah, definitely.
It could be an amazing series, it could be average. Like, I know Maida's gone on record saying, like, yeah, the reaction to this episode have been really positive, but it's not enough.
Not enough. Because we're only halfway there.
Exactly,
it's coming, y'all.
Alright, so I guess we'll start wrapping it up for this week. Thanks for joining us, and in about a few hours' time after this is published, the new episode will be up.
I'm so excited.
We'll get to see if all of our speculation, where it unfolds and where the series is going from there, because we have no idea right now. And that's exciting. Not knowing is definitely exciting.
The fact that there are so many variables is such a good thing. Mm. It's like, this is a really, really good interwoven, like, wide story here. There's a lot of good things and a lot of really worrisome things.
Yeah, it's as frustrating as it is exciting for people trying to, like, generate theories and stuff. So thanks for joining us again, and next week we'll be able to see where the series is going. So take care, guys. See you later.